world without God is without hope. Yes. So we want to take hope to this world. Again, I want to encourage you, because we'll not be here tonight, that should you have your faith promise cards, I encourage you, they're in the foyer. Please leave them here today, if at all possible, and just take one. If you haven't got one yet, fill it out and leave it in that offering plate that's back there in the back. And just so, again, there's no place to put your name. You know, we're not taking pledges. It is just so, the Bible says it's a wise man that counts the cost before he builds the tower. And so we want to know what we can do this year in the area of missions. We want to know what we're going to be enabled to do. But that takes the obedience of God's people. And I'll say again that every member of Kazada Baptist Temple should participate in giving and helping to reach the world. And so pray about that and what God would have you. We've been saying that for 3 months now. But today's the day we collect those. So please drop that off before you leave today. I'll do my best to remind you before we dismiss from our service here this morning. But I want to wrap the thought up of having hope. The Bible speaks much about hope. Matter of fact, over 130 times the word hope is mentioned in the Bible. And interesting enough that one of the books of the Bible where hope is mentioned the most often, which really surprised me, is where our text will be today. And that is in the book of Job in chapter number 11. The book of Job in chapter number 11. It's interesting to, you know, if you do a word search on the word hope, to find that the word hope is used so often in the book of Job. But then when you stop and think and you understand the passage of Scripture, you understand why hope is mentioned so often. Because as Job was sitting there and his wife was telling him to curse God and die, it was hope that allowed Job to continue. When he got the news that his children had all perished, when he got the news that financially everything he owned was gone, it was hope that allowed him to continue. As he sat there and he literally scraped the boils from off of his body, it was hope that allowed him to go on. In this passage of Scripture and others, we read about the fact that Job's friends came to try and help him out. I think it's interesting to note that in towards the end of the book of Job, that Job refers to his friends as being miserable counselors. They thought they knew what was going on, but they were way off. Job didn't get through because his friends were great counselors. Job did not get through this because his wife was encouraging him. Job didn't get through this because he had a big bank account that was going to help him through all the financial issues. Job got through everything because he had hope. Yes. I went to the funeral yesterday. Praise the Lord for a funeral service where we had hope. Gary's parents had grown up and were raising their children Methodist. Gary went as a child to the Methodist church, but when he became a teenager, he realized I don't have it. It's something missing. It's not here. And they lived on Hannah Avenue down in Loveland. So he walked down the street, and the rest of his parents left. He walked down to Hannah Avenue Baptist Church, began to attend church there. Time would go on, he would learn the truth and hear the gospel. Unfortunately, for the first time, having been raised in a Methodist church, he heard the gospel there at Hannah Avenue Baptist Church, and he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He loved the Lord. I was able to look at his friends and family yesterday and say that I have confidence upon the testimony of Gary, and not just his words, but his life, that he was, though absent from the body, present with the Lord. Yes. That's called hope. Yes. It's called confidence. Knowing what the future holds. Here, Job's friends trying to help him out. The friend there in verse number 1 in chapter 11, his name is Zophar. And Zophar has given him some counsel. He shares his thoughts. A lot of it we would not agree with, but when we get down to our text today, we see something that we would agree is true. If you read with me in verse number 18, if you're able, can we stand as you read this verse, and then we'll have a word of prayer. But in verse number 18, the Bible says this. Now, if you don't have a Bible, listen close. Young people, if you don't have a Bible, Brother Ben, put the verse on the screen so the young people can see it. I want you young people to read this verse with me, all right? In Job chapter number 11 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "And thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety." Those are good words. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. I pray now that you bless the reading and now the preaching of your word. I pray that, Lord, my thoughts, my eyes, my mouth, my all of me will be surrendered to the Spirit of God. And that, God, you would just take the message now and use it for your glory and for your honor. Hide me, please, and lift up your Son today. Lord, I pray you put a holy hush in this place. That, God, we'd listen and pay close attention to what hope is today. I pray, Father, that, Lord, you'd teach us, instruct us, and convict us, and encourage us. Whatever our spiritual need is, may we find it in the Word of God today. Keep a hedge about this place, please. I know the devil would love to distract and take away from the Word of God. I pray, Lord, he would be forbidden today. Lord, we love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated here. These words that Zophar said are great words. He says again in verse number 18, "And thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety." I am so thankful that we have hope today. I taught a series in Sunday school, and then I put together, as the Lord led me, to a book that was able to write on how Jesus counseled different people. And you say, oh, you know, he's not a counselor. Well, Isaiah says otherwise. All right? He is counselor. All right? And you study his life and how he counseled different people. He always confronted the problem. He always showed compassion. He always gave them correction and instruction on how to be right. And even no matter what the situation was, he always ended with this: hope. Hope. The devil loves to condemn. The devil loves to keep in darkness. The devil loves to hide people from hope. The Lord always gives hope. The Lord always gives and shows, and we must choose that path, but he always gives hope. He always gives an answer. We have been challenged this week to take hope to the world. What is that hope? Well, that hope simply is this: it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Ephesians says they're without hope, without God in this world. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, simply stated, you have no hope. If you don't know and have a relationship with God, you have no hope in this world. And so we must take this to the world. That is our great commission. Well, what is it? What does this hope do when we receive Christ? Aren't you thankful for the day you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? When you realize that you were a sinner, when you realize what Christ had done for you, and in that faith and repentance, turn to God and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. I've never gone over that day, and I'm thankful for that day. Yes. Because that day I was given hope. No matter what I go through in this life, I have hope. That is the confidence. Here in this passage, and it's recorded in the scriptures, because he's exactly right in what he said. What we get when we get hope. Just three thoughts, write them down. Number one, we get security. The Bible says in verse 18, "And thou shalt be" what? "Secure. Because there is" what? We have security because of hope. We are safe. We live in a world of darkness. We live in a world of storms and doubt and fear and death. That is what a lost world lives through. As I went to that funeral service, in the funeral service we had a couple of weeks ago, I'm thankful that there's a hope. I do not understand how people without God face death. Now, I've been to a few. Just about a month ago, I went to a funeral service, and they had no idea. They had no hope. They did not know God. And people sat there and could not control themselves. They ran out of the funeral room. They could not contain the thought. They couldn't grasp what was going on. Some tried to cover it by being foolish and dressing up as and different characters and such, trying to avoid the pain and the hurt that was there. I went down years ago, down here to Milford, down at Evans downtown in Milford, as one of the young people at Milford High School took their own life. And they were friends with many of our children that rode the bus at that time. And they asked me, will you go to the funeral with me? The line took 2 hours to get in for the visitation. And it seemed like the entire town, it was a big news at the time. And we sat there in a corner, and I watched young people stand up and scream and literally pull the hair out of their head, these teenage girls saying, I don't understand. Without hope. Our hearts grieve when we face death. And we sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. We have a confidence. We have an understanding. We have a security that God has given us. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 19, the Bible says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Aren't you thankful for that hope that brings security to us? The God that we serve is a God of hope. He gives us security. Zophar said it, thou shalt be secure because there is hope. Now, what kind of security do we have? Now, look at me real quick. Number one, I'm thankful today I have eternal security. I'm thankful today to know that I am going to heaven. I'm thankful today that God wants me to know that I'm going to heaven. God said in His Word, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. God has given us the Word of God so that we can know that we're going to heaven. And matter of fact, the devil's going to do his best. Most of 1 John is written, I believe, to believers who the devil was trying to get them to doubt God. And over and over and over and over again, you'll see John teaching this lesson. You can know the confidence, the assurance that God wants you to have. God wants you to know today that you're going to heaven. Yeah. He wants you to have this eternal security. I'm thankful for that. John 10 and verse 23 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, God's either true or He's not.
That's right.
And He is true. Yeah. Yeah. It's impossible for God to lie, amen?
Yeah.
I'm thankful for that. Yeah. I'm thankful for the fact that we serve a God who that what He says is true. I just got done teaching this morning, and I'll just throw this out there because it's a lesson everybody needs to hear real quick, me and you both, all right? Be careful about seeking signs all the time. Careful about it. We've been discussing knowing God's will. And as young adults and young singles, it's important that they've learned to follow and to do good. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. It's important that we just live the right kind of life so that God can direct our steps. But it's a dangerous thing when we start putting out fleeces. It's dangerous. How many of you ever heard a Christian say, I'm putting a fleece out?
Yeah.
About all of us. No one raised your hand. Bunch of liars. All right? Yeah, we all have. We hear it all the time. There's only two people in the Bible to ever ask for a sign, and that was Gideon and Hezekiah, and both because they doubted God's word. Gideon was told by God, I want you to lead. Defeat the enemy. Hezekiah was told, you're going to live. The Lord Jesus said it best. It's an adulterous generation, a wicked generation that seeks after a sign. Stop and think about that. We have the Word of God, and if we walk with God, God will direct our steps. That's the Bible. You say, why are you talking about eternal security? Because there's some people that they do this, and they'll say something like, God, if I'm really saved, I want you to send a rainbow in the sky. You don't need a rainbow in the sky. If I'm really saved, may a white car be the next car that pulls out in front of me. That's foolish.
Well, so how am I supposed to know I'm saved? These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. It's the Word of God that gives us our security. It is the Lord that gives us our security. And my friends, God has promised, they that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. If the Lord said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, then you're not going to perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, what? Should not perish. If there is a chance that you could have it and lose it, then God lied. Simply stated. But he said, you'll never perish. That's why in the Word of God, in the lessons there, and it says that when one sinner repents, there's joy in the presence of the angels. Why? And I know you've heard it many times, but why are they rejoicing? Because it's settled. If it wasn't settled, they wouldn't rejoice till you made it. But they're rejoicing because it's settled. And I'm thankful for that. If that wasn't the case, there'd be a lot of mood swings in heaven. And that's just my life, not counting yours, right? Yeah. Oh, right? I'm thankful it's not that way in heaven. Amen? There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels because we have eternal security. God promised that. That's my hope. That's my hope. I don't know what this week lie and what lies ahead of me this week. I may end up going to a doctor and getting a terrible report. And if that's the case, I have a hope. I have a confidence. And I'm thankful for that, that we have an eternal security. But I got to keep going. We also have an external security. So what do you mean external security? Mean this, no matter what's going on around me. No matter what is going on around me, I can have confidence that he has me. Yes. And you say, that's simple. I know it is. That's what the Lord wants. Yes. He wants me to live my life with the confidence. Everybody look at me. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. God doesn't want us to live in fear constantly. God doesn't want us, God wants us to walk in a sound mind with the power of God. God wants us to live this life understanding no matter what I face, it's going to be okay. The Lord helped me with that, and I know it's such a silly, simple little statement. But when my sister passed away, the one thing, you know, I just got alone with God. I began to speak with him and listen to the Lord. And if you asked me how I was doing, you heard me say this. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You say, you're just making life too simple. That's the fact. It's going to be okay. No matter what we face, because we are a child of God, it's going to be okay. Yes. No matter how this world may be flipped upside down, yes. I'm his child. It's going to be okay. The book of Titus in chapter 2 and verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God, the Lord Jesus, he's coming back someday. Yes. Because of that, I can face whatever it is. No matter the storm, it's going to be okay. We sing the song, there is coming a day where no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day it will be. Aren't you looking forward to that day? So I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what the mountain is ahead of you. I do not know how dark the clouds may be. But my friend, if your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be okay. We have hope. I can't imagine living in this world without hope. Aren't you thankful for that hope? It is an eternal security, an external security. It is also an endearing security. In John chapter 13 and verse number 1, talks the Lord Jesus speaks about the Father having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I'm thankful today. Now, look at me. God loves me.
Yes.
I want you to understand something today. Ready? Look at me. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. You say, well, you don't know what I did this week. God loves you. God knew what you were going to do this week before the foundation of the world. And you know what? He loves you. He's loved you before you ever were you. He loves you. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's always loved you, which, look at me, you did nothing to earn his love. So you can do nothing to lose his love. It's not based on us. He chooses. I love there, and I know I refer to it all the time, when Moses was speaking to the children of Israel, and they say, why does God love us? And he said, let me tell you why God loves you. Deuteronomy. He loves you because he loves you. That's what he said. He said, it's not the size of the congregation. It's not who you are. He loves you because he loves you. I'm thankful today that God loves me. I'm thankful to look at you in the eyeball and tell you, he loves you. He loves you. I did not say he ignores the wrong in our life. There's been many times that my children have done wrong, but I love them. There's been times I've broken my parents' heart, but they never cease to love me. God loves us. I say it today because if there's something I've learned as a pastor that I didn't realize happened in people's lives so much as it does, is the devil whispering in people's ear that God doesn't love them. If this was an honest congregation, many would raise their hand today that they have battled the thought that God is done with them, or that God doesn't love you, or that God couldn't love you. I'm not condoning any sin. I'm not compromising in any way, but I am telling you a fact. He loves you. And I'm thankful to have that as my hope, that he loves you and me. This hope, back in our text, it gives us security. It gives us security. This hope, number two, leads us to serve. It says here in verse number 18, and thou shalt be secure, because there is what? Oh, yeah, I caught you. All right, let's do it again. Verse 18, and thou shalt be secure, because there is what? Hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee. Thou shalt dig about thee. The idea there, dig about thee, is the idea of entrenching. If you're like me, I hope you read a little bit about history and you study some history. You study the world wars and how they would dig and they would entrench and prepare themselves for the battle. It took a lot of work to dig those trenches through there. It was a lot of labor. But they would go and they would dig and they would dig and they would do the work during the day. And then they would settle in. Now, why would they give all the effort? Why would they pour themselves out? Why would they sweat in this burning sun? Why would they keep on giving and giving and giving and working and working? According to the scriptures, because there's hope. They dig about because there's hope. I coach our boys' basketball team. When I coach our team, there's been times that we've been ahead, like twice. No, I'm just kidding, right? But one of the jobs of a coach is in the fourth quarter when you're down, with 2 minutes left, you're down by 30, to get those guys not to quit. One of the things when you face a team that's better than you, that you have to express to them is that they have hope. Because when a person has lost their hope, they quit trying. It's a simple illustration. I've given it before. I read of it in a book, and a scientist did a study, and he got a big old bucket, 5-gallon bucket of water, and he took this 5-gallon bucket of water, and he took a mouse and he dropped it in the water. And he let it swim. And about 8-9 minute mark, it drowned. He dropped another and he dropped a mouse in there. About the 8-9 minute mark, it just got so exhausted, it drowned. Then he took another one, same size, same everything, dropped it in the water, it swam. But every 2.5 minutes, he would pick the mouse up, set it on the counter in its little cage, wait about 30 seconds, and put it back in the water. And that mouse swam an hour. Why did it keep on swimming? It had hope. It had hope. You know why the devil tries to take hope away from you? Because you'll quit. We have a job to do, believers. We have a commission, amen? That's what this week is about, to take the gospel to our community, to take the gospel to our neighbor, to take the gospel to this world. That is something we must do. And I hope everyone is actively involved in this. And you are. Because of hope. But too often people quit because they've lost their hope. Many times in a basketball game, I'll put my finger under the chin of one of my players and I'll lift up their chin and say, look at me. Don't quit. Don't quit. To the church today, if you're struggling with hope, I want you to look up today. Don't quit. Your hope is secure. You say, but you know what all we faced in the last few weeks? Matter of fact, yes, I do. Do you know the trials that I've gone through? Yep. Do you know the heartache? Yes. You want to keep on going? Yes. Because there's hope. That hope will drive us to continue to entrench ourselves, to get ready to continue in the fight, to dig in. We have a duty, and we will willingly do that duty as long as we have hope. That's why the missionary continues to preach, even though there may not be many converts, because of hope. That's why we'll continue to knock on doors, even though no one visited the last 2 weeks, because of hope. That's why we'll continue to give and continue to serve and continue to plant churches. You say, why? Because of hope. You keep on going. It's our duty. This blessing here of hope is not for those who are sitting idle. It is not for those who are doing nothing. It is not for those who have compromised and become complacent. This is a promise for the Sunday school teacher who keeps on teaching, for the bus worker who keeps on going, for the soul winner that keeps knocking on a door. This is a promise of God that you will have hope, and so continue doing the work. This hope makes you serve. When I see someone that's quit serving, and they physically could be serving, they've lost hope. My friend, there is hope. This hope gives us security. This hope allows us to serve. And thirdly, in our text today, this hope gives us a peace, or a solace, if you will. It says there in verse number 18, yea, thou shalt dig about thee because of hope, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. The idea has just been given that they've been digging and entrenching in. And then they're able to lay their head back at night, even though the warfare is all around them, because of hope. That's what I think. You remember, I just read this morning in my personal Bible reading in John chapter number 20, as Jesus was ministering there to Peter and restoring him into the ministry and helping him and giving him strength. He asked him 3 times, do you love me? You all know that passage of scripture. And then he makes a promise to Peter that in the Bible even makes it clear of what death he would face, and the fact that there would come a time when Peter would be led around as an old man. Someone would have to take his hand and show him where to go and help him in his old age. Say, what are you talking about? Resting in hope. Just a few pages later, just days after this event, Peter's arrested. He's arrested for preaching. And he is told that they're going to put him to death. They had put to death other of the saints. And boy, putting Peter to death. But God, the church begins to pray. God sends an angel to miraculously free Peter from prison. And the night before his death, Peter is scratching on the wall trying to get out. Nope. Peter's trying to dig a hole to try to dig underneath the walls. Nope. The angel has to come and poke him in the side to wake him up. How can you be so sound asleep the night before your execution? Because he knew he wasn't getting executed. Amen. Jesus had told him, you're going to live to a point in your life when people are going to lead you or have to help you and lead you around. Well, that wasn't yet. So Peter said, I'm going to get a nap. And he was out. Because he had hope. He rested. I'm thankful today. We're going to do this work by God's grace because we have hope. We're going to go down and see another church planted because there's hope. And then we're going to start on another project because there's hope. We're going to start and run that other third bus route because there's hope. We're going to go knock on doors Saturday because there's hope. We're going to keep teaching Sunday school and junior church. We're going to keep on and teaching these kids at school. We're going to keep on investing in people and having discipleship classes. And we're going to have these other courses to help people bound by addictions, bound by grief. We're going to do all these things. Why? So that they might have hope. Because there's coming a day when we're going to rest. I can lay my head down tonight if I do what's right and rest because of hope. Right now we have a job to do. John chapter 9 and verse number 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There's a rest coming one day. We talked about Thessalonians, how the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, writes the words about those who have died in Christ, how they're asleep. Jesus used the term when he talked about Lazarus, he sleepeth. Again, we know from scriptures interpret scriptures. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's no such thing as soul sleep, as some would teach it. But why would Jesus use the term sleep referring to believers who have died? He doesn't use that term referring to people that are lost. But he does refer to it, those who are saved, because it's restful. Yes. Peace is calming. Sleep is peaceful. Someday, I will exit this world. I'm hoping it's by a trumpet and a shout. But the Lord tarries, and this body gives way one day. I have hope. And I can close my eyes in death in confidence that I'll be with the Lord. You can rest in safety. Can I ask you a quick question as we close the sermon today? Everybody look at me. Kids on my bus, look at me real quick. Do you have hope? Truly, do you have hope? Do you have eternal security? Because hope secures. Are you struggling with things around you? You need to get your eyes back on God. Has the devil whispered in your ear that God doesn't love you? The devil's a liar. Do you have hope? Have you quit serving God? Are you laying down? Have you quit because you've lost hope? Have you quit trying to break that sin? Have you quit trying to get rid of the addiction? Have you quit trying because you've lost hope? Oh, my friend, God can do anything. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't lose hope. And look forward to the day when we will rest in safety because of hope. Would you bow your heads, please?